Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Ooh, there's nobody like Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus.
Thank you for that.
Oh, Jesus. We call upon your glory. We call upon your presence. We call upon your Holy Spirit. We call upon the rivers of living water and the mighty dam of God to break. We call upon the dam of God to break and the river to come and the water to flow. We call upon that wall of living water that changes forever. Holy. Hey. Oh, Shama Bebe say. Holy. Holy. Holy, 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 hey! Woo! Hey! Woo! Thank you. Hambrate ke soko. Woo! Holy is the Lord. God wants to break shyness off of some people.
Amen.
When it comes to praise.
Amen.
When I used to go to church, I'd be like, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. By the time they were done with me, I was throwing praises at him. Didn't know it was scriptural. Tehillah, to throw praises at him. To throw praises at him. To heap the glory on him. Hallelujah. Oh, shapande take so. Woo. Lord, we receive. I'm going to have y'all say, we receive.
We receive.
All that you want us to have.
All that you want us to have.
Every single thing.
Every single thing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
before
name.
We go home.
Before we go home.
Woo. Ha, sha, sha, ka, ta, ta, ta. Ooh, shamede dende de basoto. Hey, holy is the Lord. I break every spirit of defeat. There's a couple people in here, you've been battling something that feels like you're defeated. You are not. It is a lie, and that spirit has attached to a lie. I break the lie of defeat. I break the spirit of defeat and the spirit of failure. You come out and you leave and you never return in the name of Jesus. And I declare straight thinking. I break every spirit of rejection that has caused you to feel like you don't fit in. It's a lie. You're part of the family of God. You are accepted in the beloved. I command every spirit of rejection to go, to leave, come out, never return. It's a lie and devil. Hey. Shonda. Show Bape say. Holy is the Lord. If you think this is strange, wait till you see heaven. If you think this is odd, wait till you see creatures full of eyes. Wheels within wheels. Wings with hands underneath. Come on now. Heaven is strange. Might as well get used to it. Might as well get used to it. Say, well, I don't like that. Too bad. Yes, we do. Yes, yes, we want it all, Father. Hallelujah. Wendy Lou, do you have a short testimony?
Sure. Okay. Okay. Holly asked if I would just share. She asked if I would share just a little bit about what the ministry has done for me. And I just publicly want to thank her, Lori, Edgar, the people that laid the foundation. Because the people that give their time and pour, sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did and pour their lives out to him and then in turn pour it out to us. It's priceless. There can't be a price put on it. And like, I was put in a situation. I lost my son about a year and a half ago and I was in a really bad place because my husband and I went through some church hurt and stuff like that. So he wasn't attending anywhere. And, I started listening, to the CDs and stuff. And then I went to a conference, but the CDs, like, I didn't understand, like, cause they talk about, you know, listening to God, being led of the Spirit, you know, and you're like, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we do that? And, I knew it was real. I knew it was, oh, help me, Lord. I knew it was available and I experienced it in and out, but I didn't know how to consistently walk in it. And I started listening to the CDs and, I just devoured them and I kept listening to them. I would listen to one, two, three times. And it's not that we listen to them over and over, like in repetition or anything like that. It's just to get it in our spirit and to remind us who God is. God doesn't need reminding of who he is, but it's to help it helped me anyways to get it down inside my spirit, begin to walk it out. And he started teaching me little things at a time, like, she always talked about just asking questions, you know, asking just like child. So I started asking him questions, just little questions, and he began to respond to me. And I noticed he started responding more and more. And, for example, I was mowing the yard one day and I didn't have enough gas and my husband was at work. And so I thought I was going to have to wait. And I thought, well, if I have to go get gas when he gets home, I will. So I started mowing the yard. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you mow it this way? And I'm real particular about the way I mow it because of lines. And he said, why don't you mow it this way? And I thought, what? And I heard it again. So I was like, okay. So I did. And I had exactly enough gas. I didn't need to get gas. But it's the small things like that. And he began to really reveal to me how personal he is. And I go to the website and I listen to over and over and over again. And it's not that we lift up a person, a human being, but the point that, I don't know, you know, that's real, you know, they have something and you want to learn from them, I guess, basically. And you just can't put a price on that. And I just started listening to all the CDs and sermons. And I just kept listening to them over and over and over again. And the Lord showed me that, you know, they had to start out at ground level, but we could start out at ceiling level because they built up for us, you know. It's like, I don't know, I can't describe how he showed me it, but it's changed my life. And like I said, it's not her as a person. It's not Lori as a person. It's no other than the ministry of the Holy Spirit and God. But he uses people, and that's the bottom line. And he's used it, the ministry and the teachings. If you guys don't... if you haven't been to the website, I highly suggest go to the website. I don't watch TV. We haven't had a TV in our house for probably 10 or more years. But there were small things like Lori talks about getting on Facebook, getting on social media. And I quit doing more of that and just started really just pressing in. We live out in the country, so I just take long walks and beginning to cultivate that. And I would just listen to him over and over again until it got into me. I was listening to one of the teachings and it was, I can't remember. It was a single teaching, something about stepping into glory or waiting in it or something. And I was sitting on my bed and I was listening to it. And he said, I don't want you to listen to it. I want you to partake of it. And I was like, well, how do I do that, Lord? And you know, he cares. He so personally cares about us so much. And I think, well, I came from a church where it was a lot of plastic. I knew there was more. I knew there was real. It was real. And I don't know. I just suggest that, you know, he's not a respecter of person. It's available to all of us. We can be close to him. We can be near to him. He's never far away. Like they talk about, even when we stray and, you know, in my grief, you know, people look at me and think, you know, I should be sad in bed and because I lost my son to suicide a year and a half ago. And the Lord came to me. We planted an oak tree out in the yard and he said, you know, I bore your grief. And then he just gave me a revelation about, you know, he watched his son. He just ministered to me. He's a piece of heaven. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And he's been there every step of the way. And even in that process, you know, people kept saying, well, you need to get in a group. You need to get in a group. You need to get therapy. And I'm just like, I got therapy, the best therapy I could get. And he healed it all. Like, I mean, he took it all. And I did join a group, Mothers Against Suicide, but half of those mothers in there, they go to church. They've been to church in years, but they're like, I don't understand. How can you deal with it like you're dealing with it? Because there's some mothers in there, not even literally, can't even function and get out of bed. And, you know, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without those teachings and with that help, that push, that, you know, what that just that push. And it actually, if I didn't listen to them, and it's, again, it's not them. It's the spirit, just like the Bible, the spirit mode. It's the spirit behind them. And it changes us. And it just, I don't know. I just can't put it into words. But the value that they give for free that's available to us on the website, it's just life transforming. So I just encourage you guys to take the opportunity to go on there, you know, and just shut out things that don't matter, because this world doesn't matter. It's not the things of this world that matter. And we need to set our affections above, because that's where they need to be. And that's where God wants them to be. And when we do that, we can walk in that. And like Holly's been talking about, he's taking us there. He wants us to walk in that, all of us to walk in that. And it's available. He uses even the mundane. If you're just cleaning toilets, clean them for the glory of God. Do the best you can do with wherever he puts you, because it doesn't matter what we do. As long as we are doing it for his glory. We don't do it to be seen. We don't do it for whatever. You know, just, I don't know. I just wanted me to say something about the CDs and stuff, how it's impacted my life. And it's been a life support. It was life support for me. It was life support. And about 10 years ago, I don't remember, maybe 10 years ago, it was when I first met her and Edgar. They came to Anderson. And I went to the CD table after the first service. I bought every CD because I just knew, I knew the life of the spirit that was in there and the words. And I would gave them to a bunch of people and handed out, and then went through several years. And just, it was about 2 years ago, I reconnected to the ministry and started listening to him again. But, you know, he truly is our life support. If you just, it's the small things. And even if you hear things that they repeat sometimes in the CDs, just take it in. Just, you know, the more that we hear it, then that we become that. And listening to them and reading the word together and just, you know, spending time, it's life transforming. You can't put a price on that. And there's no better life or way to live than that. So just take advantage of their, you know, their website, the series, the CDs, the messages they have, because it can and it will transform you.
Amen. Thank you, Wendy. We weren't trying to do that to get you to buy stuff, because all our stuff is free. All the same stuff that's back there is free on the website. Our point is this. Every believer is called not just to know about the glory, but to carry it. Your body is the temple of the living God. And I don't want anybody, when we step over into heaven, we'll see all kinds of things. And I don't want it to be coulda, shoulda, woulda. Like, oh, you mean I coulda carried the presence? You mean I coulda carried it like Finney? You mean I coulda carried it like Mariah Woodworth Etter? There's people that have carried it in such a powerful way. We are not there yet, but we're going. Where people miles away got saved. People coming down the road to scorn and mock were cut down in the road. Men, young men came to mock because people were weeping in the services of Mariah Woodworth Etter. And they came to mock. And God froze them with these contorted faces for 6 hours. And while they're frozen with these contorted faces under the glory of God, they encountered him. And when they came out of it, they rushed to the altar. They used to call it a mourner's bench because there was a great deal of repentance involved. See, God's called every believer. It doesn't matter if you think you're not called. You are called of God. And you'll carry, listen, you say, but I'm an evangelist. Good, carry the glory. I'm a pastor. Good. Carry the glory. I'm just a friend. I'm a grandma. Good. Carry the glory. Because it will make everything you do better. I feel like we still need to deal with some spiritual stuff, so I'm going to ask Glory to keep her ears open, too. We've been feeling like there's a lot of, well, one word for it might be a little deliverance, being set free, being emotionally healed, and we're just going to try to do whatever God wants to do here. But I did, while we were worshiping, hallelujah, that was awesome, while we were worshiping, I saw a person that has felt, it's actually a spirit, but it's a spirit of abandonment. And you were kind of abandoned by either one or both of your parents when you were young. And it has left you feeling kind of like an orphan, like you just don't fit. But it's not quite the same as rejection. It's like, is anybody ever going to really want me? Is ever anyone ever really going to parent me? And the Father desires with all his heart for you to attach to him in that wholeness that he wants to give you, that only he can give you, by the way. Earthly parents can't give you that. And so I break and bind any form of abandonment, distress, loss, grief, grieving. You know, grief is okay. It's okay to have emotions. Emotions are a gift from God. That's okay. But there is also a spirit of grief or grieving. And we don't have to have that. So I bind and break those spirits. I bind and break and take authority over every spirit of self-pity, poor me. That's one of the most insidious and devastating spirits, because when you start to feel sorry for yourself and you start going to people for sympathy, you start mounding all this junk up on yourself. And I know, because I used to be that way. Dreadful. And you know what? To walk in self-pity is to call God a liar. I know, I'm telling you, I used to do it. Because what we're saying is, well, yeah, I know you're saying you're good and you're saying there's all these promises and you're saying I'm accepted in the beloved, but poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. So in effect, we're calling him a liar and we're calling his word a liar. So I cut and break the effects of self-pity. I don't care what happened to you. Listen, what happened to Sister Wendy was just about as bad as it can get. Her beloved son, right? Can you think? I can't think of something worse than that. And yet she refuses self-pity. She's walking in joy. And Jesus made her able to do that. And one thing God taught me is you can stay in it as long as you want, but sooner or later you're going to want to come out. Might as well do it now. Might as well do it now. Walk out of the swamp. I'm done with this swamp. I was watching television one time. Rodney Howard Brown said these words, and I thought he was nuts. He said, if you find yourself losing your joy, you're in error. And I thought, oh, that's not true. But over the years, I learned that's true. Because if you lose your joy, it's because you no longer believe the promises. Or you think that your hope is lost, or somehow God has forgotten, or he's not going to come through for you. Depression is believing a lie. It's what it is. When you're depressed, ask God, what lies am I believing? Because you're either believing it's never going to get any better, or God cares about everybody else but not me. It's never going to change. God can't rescue me. Or this situation is just too big. Those are lies. I don't care what your situation. Listen, God can take the earth in his hand and go shake, shake, shake. Turn it upside down. Flip it around and say, changed. I think if he wanted to, he could back it up 20 years and have a do-over. You know, I don't know. But he is God. And I used to be that person that was in an impossible situation. And there is no such thing. With God, all things are possible. All. And God had to kind of slap me around a little bit. Just like I'm slapping you. And he had to say to me, Holly, there's something you need to get. When you get it, we will go on. And until you get it, we will not go on. In other words, you can stay in this swamp as long as you want to stay here. When you're ready, you let me know and I'll tell you some truth. Or I could tell you today. And I remember when he said it to me, I'm like, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that truth. I'm walking out of this thing. I am not going to live this way. I'm going to learn what you want me to learn. I'm going to learn how to have faith in your word. And if you said it so, it's so. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my circumstances say. And I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know your word is true and you're good for it. If you've made a promise, you're good for it. That's what Abraham knew. Abraham's trials were long, very long years. You know what it says about him?
He waxed strong in faith. He grew stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in faith in the trial. When everybody else would be saying, oh, I guess it's, maybe I took the wrong turn. Maybe I zigged when I should have zagged. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe God didn't really say, has God said? But not Abraham. You said it. I don't know when you're doing it. I don't know how you're doing it, but you said it. So you're doing it. And if God has promised you something, the only person that can negate it is you. God is waiting for you to come in alignment with what he wants. And the minute you do, the gate is open. He's already poured out the blessings. Do you know that? Jesus died. All those promises are written in the past tense because he already poured them out. There's blessings laying on the floor of heaven just waiting for somebody with enough faith to go, I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that. And you know why we have an issue? Because our mind has not been fully transformed yet. So we see, well, it doesn't look like that, and it doesn't look like that, and it doesn't look like that, and it doesn't look like that. It was really hard for me to believe. God, I knew I was supposed to preach. I knew it was in there, but it was, I had an absolute spirit of failure. I didn't think it could ever happen. There wasn't a church in the world that would open their doors to me. Thank you, Pastor Brian. You know, seriously, what would they didn't want anything to do with me. And I had no concept of, you know, until Jesus told me he did it on the hillside, and that was why. Seriously. It was impossible for not one reason, but a million reasons. And it was the only thing that kept me alive was the hope of his calling. Some of you have a hope of his calling. There's something God told you you're going to do, but there's no way it can happen because of your circumstances. I'm telling you, if God said it's going to happen, he will make a way unless you negate it. And why does the devil try so hard to make you think it can never happen? Because he's scared that it will. I remember the day, I'm going to tell on myself. I used to have the world's cutest chiropractor. And the devil arranged this one. Tall, funny, hilarious, musical, had a grand piano in his living room. It was just a dirty dog, really, but he looked pretty good. Some of you know I was married before Edgar. The man was already cheating on me. He was having an affair openly and had been arrested for some pretty bad crimes. But I had made a decision. I will be faithful to God. I will be faithful to him because God says when we are faithless, he is still faithful. So I need to be like my father. Even if my husband was faithless, I need to be faithful. But I won't tell you I wasn't tempted. I was tempted. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you what happened to me in February of 1989. It's the only time the devil ever spoke openly to me with no disguise. He said, I will give you this man and I'll leave you alone. By the way, he was rich. I will give you this man and I'll leave you alone forever if you'll give up any idea of ministry. I said, thank you. So I am called after all these years of you telling me that I'm not called. I am. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for giving me a word from the Lord. I am now more determined than ever because I know you wouldn't have showed up with that stupid comment. Unless I were really called to do something. Some of you have been told that you are carrying a light or the word of God, that you have a mission to go on. There's something that you're going to do, but you've had self-doubt because of your equipping or your ability or your mental capacity or your family or your spouse or whatever. Listen, same woman I told you about, Mariah Woodworth Edder, her husband was a rat fink. And it was the 1800s. She was a lady in a long dress with a bun on her head. She knew it just wasn't done. It's just not done, you know. A woman simply did not go out and be an evangelist, especially with a crabby husband. And what started to happen was she started to lose her kids. You know, God loves you, but if you stay out of his will long enough, It's not that God kills your kids. God never does that. Never, ever, ever. But if you open the door to a devil, now you've yielded to him. She began to have disaster after disaster, and finally God said, who are you going to obey, God or man? Now, it flew in the face of everything she knew, but she finally said, listen, I will obey God. And the first place she ever preached was probably the hardest because it was her own family. There was a big family reunion, and God said, stand up and tell them about me. And she said, I don't want to. She knew there would be trouble. But the minute she stood up, she said there was a great chasm before her of the burning fire of hell, and she saw this little like log going over it and people falling in. And she began to shake like a leaf and share what she was seeing. And they all just got nailed by God. Came to Christ. And everywhere she went, the Spirit of God just people were just smitten. God has made a promise to some of you. Some of you have heard a promise of God that was so many years ago. It was a dream and you put it on the shelf. And over the years, you'd kind of look at it and say, well, maybe I misunderstood, or I guess I'm just not equipped, or maybe I went the wrong way. God says, listen, you might forget, but I have never forgotten. I have never forgotten the word I spoke to you. And I never will. You know, I remember I told you God made me die to self, you know, like for years, very, very tough. And I remember laying in bed kind of, you know, once you're fairly dead, you don't have any feelings anymore. You don't hurt anymore, thanks be to God, but you don't feel. You just don't have any feelings anymore. You don't care. Go use somebody else. Hallelujah. I don't care. And I remember thinking, well, if he ever wants to raise me from the dead, you know. And he stopped me and he said, the scripture, nobody takes my life from me, but I'm laying it down and I will take it up again. He said, if you want to raise yourself from the dead, you have to take it up again by your faith. You are going to have to believe me. You, Holly, oh, dead one. Oh, don't care anymore. Madam apathetic. Madam, I don't even want to do this anymore. Don't talk to me about this. I don't want to hear this. Go use Rob. I have a friend named Rob, and I would say, go use Rob. Go. He's great. You know, he can do it. He's a man of the Spirit. Go pick Rob, you know. Finally, God got mad at me. He said, stop telling me to use Rob. I'm talking to you. And when God's tone gets sharp, it's a really good thing to listen. And God told me, he said, you have faith and you will raise yourself from the dead. And so I had to repent. Some of you are going to have to change your tune. And you may say things only when nobody's listening. Right? You may say negative things only when you're in your prayer closet or just when you're muttering to yourself or just your thoughts. But there's some of you I know I'm talking to that you're called to carry something. In fact, you are already carrying. It is already in you. It is in you. It is in you. And I'm calling it forth in the name of Jesus. I'm calling it forth in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. I break every word that was spoken over you by people who didn't believe you. Or didn't understand who you were and said negative things or just said, oh, I don't think that's right. And you took discouragement on. I break those words in the name of Jesus. And I break them off your soul. If God has called you, God has called you. And no man can stop it except you. So I take authority over any defeating word curse. And I place a draw on the gift that is in you. And I say the body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ, the lost need you. The world needs your gifts, depending what your gift is, right? We need your gifts. You know, we don't tell you to go, you know, listen to CDs because we think we're so great. But God has given us a way, a method. It's a method of how to do what we ask him to do. Oh, Lord, won't you give me this gift? Won't you anoint me to raise the dead? Oh, Lord, won't you anoint me to heal people? But what if that's a false belief system? What if he's saying, well, wait a minute, I already did. And it's living in you, but you don't know how to access it. And what if accessing it is a method you can learn? And I'm talking about anything, teaching, preaching, singing, playing, going on a mission trip, winning souls. It doesn't matter what it is. He knows how to do it. He is anointed to do it. If you're supposed to be prophetic, he is the prophet in you, living in you. The gifts of the Spirit live in you. Healing lives in you. And the only difference between the apostles and us is they got it because they followed Jesus around. He was teaching them constantly. Watch this, boys. Watch this. Here's how it's done. Right? He taught them the ways of the Spirit. And for so long, we have begged God to do a thing that we already have. And I think God has this look on his face like, won't somebody learn the way? And so if you're hungry, some people just aren't hungry enough, and that's okay. We love them and bless them. But if you're hungry, God will give you. Listen, we are the least of the brethren. I'm not just saying that to be cute. Seriously. I think I'm an example of what a person could do if they're not called, not chosen, not appointed, and not anointed, but have the method of getting to know the Holy Ghost and learning things from him. Because what can you do if the Holy Ghost teaches you how? Anything. Everything. Everything you put your hand to do can succeed if you learn how to hang out with the Holy Ghost and get his method. Right? I do stuff that I don't know how to do, but he's taught me how. God wants to help you become the person where I was talking about identity for this reason. There's certain things you're called to do that none of the rest of us can do, and it is important. And God not only wants to breathe life into it, he wants to teach you how to go about it, how to carry it, how to manifest it, how to speak, when not to speak. When to speak, what to say, what not to say. Do you ever go to say something, you get this check? Don't say it. Right? That's prophetic. Knowing when to keep your mouth shut. Not that I always get that one right, but I do try. So the Lord is trying to bring his people. Your body is literally the new temple. Has anybody ever read Ezekiel? There's a very disturbing thing in Ezekiel, that Ezekiel watches the glory leave the temple. It's a terrible thing. And it doesn't just up and go. It departs in measures. Little bit, and then he's gone. What a terrible thing. But Ezekiel also prophesied there'd be a new temple. It's you. You have to understand that temple housed the glory. What is the glory? The manifest presence of the king. What happens in the manifest presence? Anything he wants. We've seen creative miracles. We did not do them. Oh, no, we did not. But he did. We watched it happen. In some cases, we'd hear about the next day. Like, what? They were just in the presence because the presence heals, because that's who he is. It's not just what he does, it's who he is, it's his very nature. Listen, if you get close enough to him, you will be healed. If you get close enough to him, you will be changed. If you get close enough to him, I remember, we were talking about this at the lunch break. I went up to a revival where the presence of God was so strong. And it was like walking into God when you walked in the doors. I'll never forget it. I traveled 5 hours on an airplane to get there. And I walked in the doors, and it was like walking into God as though he were standing there. And I was, I don't know who preached. I don't know who the band was. I don't know what they played. I didn't hear a word. I went and found a little hidden spot in the back and laid down. And I began to have a problem. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And what was wrong with me was a foul spirit of rejection was beginning to manifest. I started to become agitated. You know why? Devils can't take the presence. Sickness can't live in the presence. We are changed. Every time you go into the presence, you're changed, whether you know it or not. You don't always know it. But if you just keep going, you just keep hanging out with God. We might look a little strange because we like to soak, or they say marinate in the presence. But what we found is sometimes if you hang out long enough, you might not hear him talk. That's okay. Sometimes the greater presence is he's not talking, he's doing. Sometimes he'll give you the actual food of heaven. You come out knowing something you didn't know before, or knowing what to do with a situation, or understanding, oh, that's the solution. God wants that to become normal for every one of his kids. I wasn't going to share this because I don't want anyone to take it wrong, but I feel like God's after me to share it.
can't remember if I mentioned that when Edgar wanted to marry me, and I remember thinking God would really have to tell me, because I really never wanted to marry again after what I'd been through. And I felt myself starting to leave my body. Edgar was sitting there, and I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get back. I'd never been out of my body before. It was scary. It's the only time it's ever happened to me. And I thought somehow if I could hold on to his hand, I'd be able to come back. And I went back 2,000 years until the night Jesus was born. And I won't tell you the whole thing, but one part of this vision, I was taken to the well of Jacob, and I knew it was the well of Jacob, and it was just filthy and polluted. The top was covered with garbage and slime. Now, I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. I love the church. I love the church. I love God's people. But God said to me, this is the water my church has been drinking. And I said, oh, God, help me bring pure water to the church somehow. Help me to bring back. You see, the restoration of that which was lost in this day has to do with the purity of how it was in the beginning. A, before the fall, right? Jesus died to restore us to that garden place. Yes, he did. With an open communion with the Father, we walk with him in the cool of the day. Normal. That's normal. B, that in the early church, they were able to walk in certain things because they understood the way it worked. And so what Satan did, Satan was actually pretty shrewd on this. When people began to want to walk in that stuff, because it's clear in the scriptures that God wants his children to walk in the same things. Satan said, oh, but that was only for those special ones. It's only for those. You could never do that. That is not what the Bible says. So over the years, we fell into like dark ages, and they were very dark. And so the church has, little by little, God has reintroduced truths to the church. Azusa Street brought back in that we could be filled with the Spirit. We could have a language that would allow us to speak the will of the Most High God into the earth. Wow! Then the healing revivals came. And people began to see, wait a minute, God does still heal. He wants to use people to heal. And then faith was reintroduced, a faith movement. And every movement initially has been horribly persecuted by the rest of the church. Not by the world so much, but by the rest of the church. I believe we're at a precipice in this day, where those who want to operate as the temple of God. Now, we have to be changed. You want to carry the glory, your vessel has to change. You can't be a stinker. You can't be prideful. You can't take credit ever for the glory. And part of the reason there's someone in here going through a death process, more than one, actually. The whole point of the death process, by the time you're done with that, you have one thing you know, and you know it down into your guts, that you never did anything right. And that when Jesus uses you, it's not because of you, it's in spite of you. And you have that as a revelation. And God loves that, because that means he can use you without measure, and you won't take it. Because you know you screwed up. I mean, I was there. It was not a pretty sight. I was there in the dark days, and it was ugly. But Jesus had told me, if you want to carry the thing, you have to be transformed. Did you ever try to, you think about a big vase full of water, and it's got a big old crack in it, right? Knowledge. We Americans, we think, well, if I get enough knowledge, I can carry the glory. Nope. There's a transformation. It's not just knowledge. Knowledge is good, though. Study is good. But there has to be a transformation. And Jesus has to knock off some of our stuff. But he won't make us. He will ask us, and we choose. Getting into the Holy of Holies is really a series of choices. Yeah. It's a series of choices. I won't do that anymore. I had one today. Hallelujah. Repented today. Had something I didn't know I had. It's a lifestyle. It's okay. You know, but Jesus opens your eyes and you go, well, I thought I was delivered from that. Whenever your behavior gets a little odd, that's usually, you know, those flags on the golf course. It's usually a little signal. Something's wrong. It's not a big deal. But it does mean you need to, what is that? And how do I get rid of that? Usually it's very, very simple. But what God is looking for is people who truly live for Him. And eventually there is to be a heart conversion of, I'm in it for you now, not me. Most of the body is still pretty carnal, I'll be honest with you. I'm talking about worldwide, okay? I'm not talking about you guys. Hallelujah. But there's a lot of people who are still in it for me, and even in ministry for me, to be seen of men or to feel validated. And if they're not validated, well, I'm going to pull back from that. Jesus was never validated by people. People are as dumb as a post. Spiritually speaking, they can't see what's in you, right? Unless God shows it. If God doesn't reveal it, nobody knows who you are except for Him. So why do you care what people think? Right? We have to become like Jesus was and say, I was put here to do a mission. I realize some people will not like it. And I realize there will be other people who will take it the wrong way. And remember, they tried to make Him king in a wrong way. They were all full of schmoozy, flattery, blech. And that was wrong too. You know what He just kept doing? Just kept going. I'm on a mission. Gonna die for my Father. Hallelujah. Does that mean He wanted to do it? No, not really. But He knew He was born to do that thing. And nobody even got it. His disciples didn't even get it. They didn't even understand it. They didn't even understand. And I think He allowed that for a time. Most of His disciples today still don't really understand what really happened at the ascension. And what happened when the Spirit of God came to live inside them. Listen, when the glory came into the temple, when the glory of God comes into the temple, people can't even stand up, right? Horns blow, earth shake, right? Even the priests, you know. Do you understand that you are that temple? Our reason for not seeing it is because when we were born into an earthly realm. We started to see with our little toddler eyes. We started to perceive and learn the language. Probably English was your first language. We started to learn how to hold a spoon and how to walk. All that stuff is in the natural. But God's trying to get us to learn how to see in His realm, how to feed ourselves with a spoon in His realm, how to walk in His realm. You know, and at first you fall down on your little diapered butt. That's pretty normal. God doesn't get mad. He loves babies. But eventually, we're so earthly focused. On this happening. Oh, if just this would happen, then I'd be happy. Idol. It's one of the ways you know an idol. If only this would happen, then I'd be happy. That. Or if I just felt like I was valued. Well, you are valued. You just don't know it. But when you start to have those kind of, if I just had this kind of house, then I would feel like I was a success. You're already a success. If I had this kind of ministry, if I could be used mightily in healing, see, then people would think we're great. And then we would feel like we had God's stamp of approval. You already have it. So God is trying to help our understanding. If we really believed the word, I assure you, most of you probably know more about the word than I do. But one thing God has taught me by the Spirit is to believe it. Yes. In a simple way. Even when it's impossible. Even when it's something about me. You know, we are so hard on ourselves. We don't think that those things could be true of us. We think, oh, I'm sure. You know what God said to me one time? He had to teach me because I was so full of guilt and condemnation. I wasn't even doing anything wrong. Hallelujah. I was fasting and praying and reading, condemning myself at the speed of light. God said, let me get this straight. You believe that I could take a guy on death row. He's a mass murderer. And if he had a heart, I could save him and I could send him out and make him a great evangelist. He could be so powerful. He could raise the dead. You can believe that, right? Yeah. He said, but not you. Oh, not you, because your sins are so great. Holly wasn't even doing anything. You see the lie? You see how we measure ourselves with this false standard? God says throughout the world, He hates a false standard. He hates that. We are using measures against each other. We're so critical of each other. For pity's sake. And I'm guilty. I've been guilty of that. Working on it. Critical of self. Judging. You're not the judge. You can't even judge yourself. Because the truth is, if you do, you're probably looking at your soulish, fleshy stuff. And God isn't. You start looking at all your faults or all your earthly greatness or how smart you are or how dumb you are. Doesn't matter. It's all crap. Oh, did I say that? Rubbish. I meant to say rubbish. No, it's crap. It's all garbage. If you think you're smart, I had a very successful past. Throw it out. Oh, I was a failure in the past. Doesn't matter. Throw it out. Because who you are now is not who you are. It's not the you we're looking at in the natural. In you is a creature of glory. In you dwells heaven. In you dwells the presence of the Father himself, the Most High. So listen to me. The extent to which you operate is directly proportional to how many decisions you make, to how far you will go. God has placed no limit and no measure. What he did for all. He died for the sins of the whole world. But will everybody get saved? No, you got to make a decision. He poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People are saying, oh God, rend the heavens and pour out your spirit. He did. He did. In fact, he did it with such a violent rushing wind, there was a sound that was so loud, people came from afar to see what's all the fuss about, what's the big noise. He tore heaven open, poured out the Holy Ghost. But there are people who say, oh, no, I don't want that. I'll take this, but not that. Then there are Holy Ghosters who say, yeah, I want that Holy Ghost. I love that prophecy thing, but I don't really like healing. So it's up to you how far you go. And I'm telling you, God is infinite. We've only dabbled. We've only experienced a little tiny, teeny fraction of what's available. I'm persuaded that there isn't a person on the earth that has encountered the fullness yet. And you know, one of the biggest tricks of the devil is say, you got it. You know a lot. That's why he wants us to compare ourselves among ourselves. I'll tell you funny. When I was younger, you know, I was in a church of about 500, and, you know, people would bring their kids to me in prayer and stuff. And so I thought I was doing pretty good. I was close to God. I thought I was praying a lot, reading my Bible. I thought I was doing pretty good. Does anybody know who Lester Sumrall is? Yeah, apostle of God. Fireball. Really a tough guy in the spirit. We were at a small meeting, and I was sitting probably as far from him. He was standing, and I was probably sitting about where Bob is. And Lester turned and looked at me, and he was in the spirit. And he looked into my eyes. I'm not going to look at anybody because I'm not doing this to you. He was in the spirit. He looked in my eyes, and it went all the way through the back of my skull. And he said, you see how far you are from God. Yipes. So hear me thinking I'm doing pretty good. That's not what God thought. And I don't think it's what Lester thought. See, we have perceived, we've compared ourselves among ourselves. We said, well, I passed this Bible exam, and I know a lot, and, you know, I've studied this, and I have great knowledge, hallelujah. And I healed so-and-so last week, so I'm going to go brag about it and tell everybody, blah, 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 blah. And we start to think, I'm doing pretty good. God must like me. Listen, God always did like you. He's letting you do that. But it doesn't mean you've arrived, and in fact, it's a deadly trap to think you have. Andrew Womack points out that David's greatest test was after he was a great success and he'd accomplished all he was supposed to. That's when he blew it, because he was resting on his laurels a little bit, committed adultery and murder. King David, man after God's own heart. Not judging the guy, but I'm saying, we have to be really careful how we perceive what is really going on. And I pray a holy hunger from God come upon us, that we will not be satisfied, that we will not settle for some earthly, carnal, plastic, garbage imitation,
will say, I have to have the pure water from the throne. I have to have the holy water that only Jesus can give. It can't come from a person. In fact, our stuff can't give it to you. We can just point the way. It's like a little signpost. Go this way. Go this way. That's all it is. And it'll save you some years. But we cannot give it to you. No human can give you the walk of the Spirit. You have to make a choice. I will do that or die. I will do that if it takes the rest of my life. I'll learn how to do that. And no, you're not too late. Somebody just felt like, oh, it's been so many years, I'm too late. No, you're not. God wants you to carry His presence. You know why? God wants finally to have a people in the earth that show who He is. And not all this junk that we have shown. We've shown the world an awful lot of stuff that isn't God. And people have said, no thanks. I don't need the judgment. I don't need any of that stuff. Because we haven't shown them God. You show them God. You show them a gift of the Spirit. Sometimes one sentence and they're undone. They're like, who is your God? I want your God. Jonah showed up in Nineveh, one sentence. City was 3 days across. He walked one day, one sentence. Pfft, revival hits the whole city. Even the animals had to fast. Yeah, the king ordered it. The whole city repented. Revival came upon the city. One sentence. I'm going to guess that even though he was an unwilling prophet, he carried some. Edgar carried something. He was a strange man, but he carried something. When we first got married, I didn't go to Ohio with him to do a meeting, and I'm thankful I didn't because I was not prepared. I was still a little churched up. Edgar got there, and there was lots of people, and a woman came. She had some kind of bone disease from head to toe. Now, do not do this unless it's the Holy Ghost. Okay? Do not try this at home. Edgar, being Edgar, takes her by the shoulders and shakes her as hard as he can and drops her. And so thankful to God I wasn't there. Now, later I could have, you know, I figured it out, but I would have been crawling under the rug. Her son is standing there. Now, the fire of God is going through her, but nobody knows it, and that's causing more pain. So she's screaming, right? Because sometimes when you get healed, fire goes. She's screaming. The son is, and Edgar, you know, Edgar, he just... You know, son chases him down and says, listen, she's in real pain. Edgar turns and says, she's healed. Edgar was kind of crabby sometimes. But he knew he had a gift of faith, and he knew when somebody was healed, he knew they were healed. And he knew if they weren't. So some time goes by. He's still ministering. And finally, the son says, please, please, we come and pray for her. He said, I'll pray for her, but I'm telling you, she's healed. He comes and prays for her again. Down she goes again. He goes on his way ministering, and pretty soon there's this big ruckus. Big noise. People are dancing, and it's this woman dancing around because she's been healed from head to toe. It's the glory. Edgar had encountered the glory. He had pressed into the throne until a fireball from heaven hit him in the chest, knocked him against the house. He thought it was a falling star, and then it hit him. Bam. He was never the same after that. He pressed into Jesus like a madman. And something happened to him. He wouldn't be satisfied. He would stay up for nights and days and days and nights. He wouldn't sleep. Because what if God wanted to say something to him? He was that hungry. And somehow the glory of God got upon him. He didn't have a lot of knowledge. You know, he wasn't very doctrinal. He had some doctrines I thought were a little goofy. But you know something? He knew Jesus Christ. And he knew His power. Lori saw him coming down the prayer line, and all she could see was this bright light you couldn't even look at coming down. He hit one guy in the chest, total stranger, nails him, hits him in the chest, says, new heart, and the guy goes flying. This guy had had a heart attack. He had a pacemaker. He was scheduled for surgery that they couldn't afford. His wife is standing in the congregation, and she started to say, oh, I hope he gets healed. And she heard herself say, he's getting his healing right now. The guy got up,
completely healed. He went in for tests, and they said, sir, these can't be your tests. You have the heart of a 25-year-old man. But we have to give you surgery. And he said, well, why? And they said, we got to take the pacemaker out. And he brought in, some of you were, Mary and John, you might have been there. He brought in that light thing with all the before and after x-rays. Now, let's talk about the mechanics. How did Edgar know he needed a new heart? He didn't know it, but he was led by the Spirit to hit the guy in the chest and say, new heart. What happened? The Spirit of God in him was speaking through him. If the Spirit of God speaks through you or tells you a sentence to say, and you say it, it is one and the same as God saying, let there be light, and there was light. When I was in my 20s, and I didn't know anything about faith, I didn't know anything about anything, I was healed when a woman gave me a word of knowledge. I thought she was an intercessor and strange, loud, just, you know, one of those weird intercessors. I didn't understand. And I was battling the flu. And I'm believing for, you know, well, I didn't even know how to believe for, but I'm hoping God will heal me. She said, is there something wrong with your back? And I'm thinking, woo-hoo. She said, did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? Yes, I did. When I was 15, I fell off a horse, landed on my tailbone, fractured my spine, simple fracture. There's not much they can do for that. It healed wrong. My tailbone was 2 inches off. She said, may I pray for you? I'm thinking, lady, you can do anything you want. Because there's no way that's a word of knowledge for healing. A word of knowledge is a container of healing power. Okay? So she didn't really pray. She just touched my shoulder and said, Jesus, I didn't feel anything. There was no tingling. I went upstairs 100% straight, aligned, smack in the middle. And I went home and said, God, I'd like to help people the way that lady helped me. And as he taught me, God's going to help you with some of this. He taught me, and I was so slow. He would give me a picture, and I didn't even know it was God talking. He would show me where to put my hand on someone's back or what to do or what to say. And here's what I learned. If I would just do it, they would be healed. Didn't matter how radical the disease. Didn't matter if I understood what was wrong with them. I watched God heal again and again. So my simple doctrine was this. If he tells you to say it, and you say just what he said, they are healed. It's amazing to watch. Because what's really happening? It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, which is what? The Spirit of God. So we have to learn how to tap into this one that has all healing. Not just about healing, it's about everything. It's about everything. Everything you'll ever need, everything you'll ever do, everything you'll ever do for him, or even do in the natural. God wants you to walk in his realm because he wants to make an example of you. And by the way, he wants to show you off to the principalities and powers. He wants to make his manifold or many-fold wisdom known to the principality and powers through the church. He wants to show off and go, neener, neener, neener. Take that, devil. That's what he wants. He wants to show you off. And you say, man, I am not worthy. How dare you? I died and shed blood to make you worthy. What? Oh, you're going to look at all this nonsense when I've made you a born-again, glorified, full of the Holy Ghost, walking in power, and you're going to whine about being not worthy for pity's sake. You need to be transformed in the way you think. And you need to start to see yourself for who you are. Because he has some things to do through you. There's things he has to do through you. I don't know how much time we have left. I'm tempted to think not a lot. But I remember when I started to figure this out, I was like, if it's the last thing that I do, I don't want to step over and say, oh, I wish I had known that. I wish I would have understood why I was there. I wish I had known my purpose. I wish I had known how. And I'm not going to say I know how, but I'll tell you what, I'm learning. I'm going. I'm going to sit at his feet and sit at his feet and sit at his feet. If I don't hear him, I'm going to read. I'm going to bug him. And you know why he talks to me? Because I won't let him go. I'm not going away. Here she is again. Might as well talk to her. No, seriously. He knows. Listen, the first 6 months, I determined I was going to pray. I was going to pray till I found God. You know what I felt? Nothing. You know what I sensed? Nothing. You know what I heard? Not one word.
Oh, honey, you're so prophetic.
Well, I was not. But a lady who walked in fire said, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And I thought, well, I can do that. My church was open 3 hours every night. You could walk up and down, pray in tongues. Every night, 7 to 10. Every night, seven, walk up and down. What did I see? Nothing. What did I hear? Nothing. Not a sense, not a clue, nothing. But I believed her because she walked in the glory. She had been in heaven, carried fire. You knew it. She didn't have to tell you. Right? You ever meet somebody who walks in fire? Yeah, she walked in some stuff. And I knew she was telling the truth. And after some months, I had one little vision. It was a picture of the Golden Dome in Jerusalem. And I thought, I'm praying about Jerusalem. Woo-hoo! And I started to just write down whatever I saw. Sometimes it'd take weeks before the next word. I'd write it down and date it, write it down and date it, write it down and date it. He gave me an assignment to pray for my pastor. You know, pray for him every day, pray for him every day. And he would tell me stuff, and I didn't know if I was hearing right. But I wanted to know, is this accurate? So for 2 years, I wrote this stuff down and dated it. And when I would see something come to pass, I'd take a red pen and check it off. At the end of a few years, I said, this works throughout the book. God wants us to carry his presence. And all of us, every one of us, is the temple. So you're going to have to see yourself in a different light. You're going to have to believe what Jesus has done. You're going to have to receive it as yours personally. Don't say, oh, yes, that's true for the body, but not for me. Well, you big fat liar. Flip, 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 flip. Know what he did for all. There is nothing that we do that every believer can't do, and far, far more. Far, far, far more. You say, well, aren't some people specially called? Yeah, and you know why? Because they pressed in. You know why Edgar got his, why he carried the presence? Because he pressed in. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. Meaning, he pressed in until he got. He wasn't trying to get a healing ministry. He wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing. He was pressing in because he wanted Jesus, and he got the glory. He got the presence, and he got miracles, healing power, and working of faith. And an evangelist like I've never seen, he could pick fruit like he was picking fruit off a tree. People, saved just every day, easy as pie for him. Because he pressed in, he wouldn't be said no to. Don't you be said no to. You go after God with a vengeance and say, I'm not going away. I won't let you go till you bless me. I don't even understand what it is I'm asking for, but I know there's something. That's called the heart cry. I don't even know how to call it, God, but you do. I don't even know what I need, but you do, and I'm not going away till I get it. You be one of those. And when everybody else is watching TV, that's okay. Don't judge them. You just go hide away. I'll be back in a minute. You go hide away, shut the door, and you just hang out with your Father. And you know what happened to me? There was 6 months of me going into prayer, and it was like he was saying, I wonder if she's serious. I wonder if she really means it. And after some time, quite some months, I went into this little prayer room, and I went to shut the door, and it was like he was sitting there waiting for me. And that's when the fun started. He began to teach me. I won't say I heard perfectly, but he began to teach me peace and peace and another peace and another peace. Still teaching me. Every day I learn. Every day I learn something new. I'll be learning until I go home. But I want to be able to say with Paul, there, I did it. I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I finished my course. Paul had a very tough course. Right? They'd beat him up. He'd go to the next town. They'd beat him up almost to death. He'd get up and go again. I think Paul knew something we need to know. There was something more important to him than his own life. More important to him than his own comfort. More important to him than everything being his way. He didn't care if he had a place to lay his head or not. If he had to work, he'd work. He had something we need. But he cared more about the glory of God and the safety of the church, the protection of the body. If you ever really read Titus in the Spirit, it changed your life. Paul, he didn't know his letters were going to be published. And he was really worried that the church wouldn't make it. There were
deceivers coming in to try to get people off course. Satan was sending people in. And he set up a structure. He tried to get a structure going. He didn't know this was going to be published. He didn't know we'd be reading this stuff 2,000 years away. But he said, I carry the burden of the churches daily. He had something from heaven that made him care more about the kingdom of God, about God's glory, and about the condition of the church and the condition of the lost. He cared more about that than his own safety, his own comfort. They said to him, the man that wears this belt, is they're going to be captive and maybe even die. And he said, I'm ready to go. Send me on, man. I'm going. He didn't care. And I don't think God was telling him, don't go. I think God was saying, Paul, this is what awaits you. Do you still want to do it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We need what he had. We have been so self-absorbed. God doesn't mind blessing you. God loves you. You're his children. He loves to bless his children. And I'm telling you, if you get kingdom-minded, you have everything you could ever want and more. Seriously. But God wants people. And he's waited all these years for a people and a church who care more about him than about themselves and their deal. And he loves you with a passion. And if you never get it, he'll still love you. You'll still get in. You'll still get the experience glory. It'll be wonderful. His love for you will never change, never vary. But he's offering us something greater. Hallelujah. I know that not everybody, you know, I hope everybody, but some people may be like, ooh, that's a little too hard. But if you want all that he's got, just say, Lord, I receive that. I want everything you have. Give me a kingdom mindset. Make me a kingdom person. Teach me how to be the temple of God. Teach me how to carry the presence. And show me who I really am in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay. Got some?
I was wrecked while this message was being poured out. And I was asking the Lord, if you knew me when, I was very shy. I would come late and leave early, and I was always in the back and never wanted attention drawn on me. And sometimes the Lord will use me to give a hard correction, and I hate that. And because I feel the fear of the Lord, it's not I don't care about what I look like or any of that, but there's this terrorizing inside feeling that of the terror of the Lord that it makes me feel like I'm going to explode on my inside. And I am like, later I'm like, Lord, you scare me. You know, this is scary to me. And he always reminds me that he's always gentle and loving and full of compassion until they can't hear anymore. And he still goes on. And so I feel like I don't feel like there's anything going to be released. So stop flinching in your seats right now. But I feel like he wants me to explain sometimes why it sounds a little stronger or a little sterner. See, some people are so tender-hearted that whenever there's the slightest correction or the whisper from heaven, they're like, is that me? You know, is my heart okay, Lord? But there's others that continually and willfully go in and out and in and out of the kingdom of God. And there's when that happens, let me just say, sometimes it's unintentional and we're just stumbling along trying to find our way to the Father. And there's grace and more grace as that happens in a season. And the hope of the Father is that we find our way into his arms. That's always his hope. And that's always wonderful. But yet there's the one that he'll call from a distance. And they're running the other way. in fear. They're reacting out of their flesh. And sometimes he yells a little louder to get them to come back. Not that he's mad at them for their behavior, but he's trying to save them from their self and the destruction and the path of destruction that has them gripped. And what happens when, I've seen this, you know, more times than I would like to say, but I've also seen the victory, which is amazing. You know, what I think is too strong is exactly what they need. And so who am I to judge the word of the Lord while he's releasing it? I try to stay separated from that. And I, you know, my faith is so childlike. I love my father, and I'm so grateful for everything he's done. But I'll tell you, he's been strong on me too. And I'm thankful for that. And so, you know, when a strong word is delivered, sometimes people react like that can't be God. That's just too strong. I'm going to tell you something. Ask him. You know, don't ask your friend. Don't ask your spouse. Ask him. And I'm saying this because I feel like we're going to hear this more. You know, there's the dinner bell is rung. He's calling us home into holiness, righteousness, purity. And what has happened is the church got so used to being one foot in and one foot out, just showing up on Sunday, but living a sinning, willfully sinning life, or maybe unwillfully, maybe not knowing, because if we are modeling the people we hang with and they're in error, how do we know we're in error unless we're in the Word? And a lot of people don't go into the Word. They just, for some reason, it's too heavy to lift. I used to be that way. I pray a hunger right now, a hunger for his word. I release a hunger for his word that is attached with the presence in the word, which consumes us, but also reflects the image of him in the word upon us, where we see the goodness of his glory and we're transformed. Where we say we no longer want to live that way. We're no longer going to talk like that. We're no longer going to go to that place. We're no longer going to sit in that group and do what we used to do. We're stepping out. We're separating ourselves. We're turning away. And see, we all turn away from the big stuff. But what about the little stuff? The little foxes that spoil the vine. I mean, listen, we all. Now, I'm not here to say, thus say the Lord, you know, repent. But I'm here to say, what's in our heart right now? What is the Lord revealing? And now I'm going to go back to when Holly released that word. You know, I'm a discerner. It's what he gave me. I didn't ask for it. I was born with it. And just like he'll go after the last straying sheep, you know, I didn't hear the word she released. I spoke it as she was releasing it, but I heard closed mouths. There were two mouths that were closed. They were silent. Now, I'm not going to force you to go after God, but I'm going to challenge you. Why are you rebelling? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why? What lie are you believing? I know this is tough. For some who have the gift of mercy, you're like, lighten up. I can't. Their soul is at stake. I have to stand before him and give an account. And I'm not holding back anything. I used to hold back. I was shy and bound. And I, you know what? He set me free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free. Free. You'll never go back. I was bound and locked and chained. I know what it's like to live in bondage. Used to come to church and I was so bound and broken and hiding and miserable. But I had that hope in my heart. And one day, out of those lost cries that nobody heard, just God. Lord, you got to free me. You got to help me. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I can't stand myself. You got to help me. Nobody knew, just him and me. I couldn't help myself, but my words brought the freedom. And then he looks after those words and he sent somebody. He set me up when I least expected it. And that person reached their arm out and pulled me out of my bondage. And when it started to happen, I was very scared. You know, he did it so suddenly. I was blinded. My little walls of protection, the way I always sit. And he caused me to think I knew the person from afar. So I waved and welcomed them. Never do that. And that person who was an agent of the Lord, listening and obeying, as strange as it was, walked across an auditorium to me. And when she was 2 feet in front of my face, I realized it wasn't who I thought it was. It was a stranger. And I was shy and blocked. And that stranger extended her hand, and it was God who, and my hand locked hands because my heart wanted to be free. My flesh didn't want to be free. But what happened was my heart's desire overrode the natural. God intervened and sent somebody to set me free. And I locked arms. They pulled me out of that chair and the chains came off. And I've never gone back and I never can. And so God has put that, you know, he'll use that testimony to set the captives free. And so, friend, will you reconsider? Will you let him lead and guide you in all truth? Will you let him be the Lord? I'm not going to point you out. I saw. I'm a seer. I saw. But he has his finger on you right now. And he's asking, will you trust him? Now, I'm not looking at you. I'm just looking around, so I'm not locking eyes. But will you trust him? Do you hear the voice? Can you hear him? Is he breaking through the barriers of time? The barriers of the hurt and the walls of self-protection. Will you reach out your hand and say yes and walk in the freedom and let him lead and let him be Lord? He's extended. His mercy is new every day. I bless you. I bless your journey. And I'm turning it back around because she's got something.
We really appreciate you guys. As you may have guessed, we haven't always been welcomed in all churches. But we just really appreciate them. And Brother Robert, I'm going to ask you to come and pronounce a blessing. Robert has a special gift from God to bless. And when he blesses you, you is blessed. So I'm going to ask him to come and bless us. And then after that, you are dismissed.
Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken to them, Lord. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that the word would go deep into their heart, and that they would not forget it, Lord. I ask that they would listen to it over and over and over as needed. And Father, we thank you, Father, that you are going to have your will and your way in every person here, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father, right now for releasing all of your purpose, all of your calling, all of your destiny on every single person here. And Lord, and if you guys could just join me, Father, we bless Holly. We bless Lori. We bless this ministry. And Father, we ask that just as it is in heaven, so it would be done in every area of this ministry. That there would be a superabundance of finances. That there would be a superabundance of your word. There would be a superabundance of your presence. There would be a superabundance of your healing, that there would be a superabundance of your miracles. Father, that there would be a superabundance of you, Lord, that you would reign in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.